And with that, Rose, can you take roll?
Yes. Judge Conklin?
I'm present.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Judge Getty? Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Merrifield?
Present.
Judge Siebert? Mr. Kim? Ms. Levere?
Here.
Mr. Riley, he informed us he'll be absent today. Mr. Taniguchi, it looks like he also informed us he would be absent today. Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, present.
Thank you.
I thought, did Judge Kelly say she was here? I thought I saw her.
I have Judge Kelly as present.
Oh, great. Okay, there she is, right there. Thanks. So that gives us a quorum?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Thanks, everybody. I know it's standard practice, but I'll remind you to please mute yourself if you are not commenting. And before we get started into our matters of more substance, we have our minutes from March 23rd, our virtual meeting. It's at page 3 of the materials. Is there a motion to approve?
Yamasaki moves.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Kelly seconds.
Thanks so much. Moved and seconded. Any opposition to the motion to approve those minutes? Or abstentions? Hearing none, the minutes are unanimously, pardon me, approved. Rose, did we get any public comment for today's meeting?
There were no public comments received.
Great, thanks so much. All right, so that allows us to get started right away on our agenda. The first, we have an action item and a discussion item. So our action item is the Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment Act, otherwise known as the CARE Act. And this is a discussion of the allocation methodology for the 23-24 CARE Act allocations. And we have Don Will with us, who's always a welcome voice and face. Don, good afternoon. Thanks so much. And you can present for us.
Thank you, Judge. This is kind of an involved allocation proposal, so bear with me a bit as I go through it. Please feel free to stop me for anything to clarify it. Our objective here is to set a funding methodology to allocate the 23-24 CARE Act funding that is designated in the governor's budget to go to the courts. There are 7 courts in cohort 1 who will be implementing the CARE Act. Talking a little bit longer about how to account for Los Angeles if they do join and are in, come out in the budget. But for now, we're looking at those 7 courts as we did a few months ago to allocate the planning funding. There are in the 23-24 budget $8.7 million that is allocated for hearing-related costs to the cohort 1 courts. Then there's a second line of $11.3 million for other court operations costs that not directly related to the judge in the courtroom hearing the case. Now, that $11.3 million is designated to both Cohort 1 and Cohort 2 courts. So I'll talk about that in a second. But the hearing costs are designated to just the Cohort 1 courts, so we can start with those. Those were estimated in the governor's budget by our standard judgeship model. It's based on what will eventually be a total of 12,000 cases statewide. That was a number that was arrived at during last year's budget negotiations, including JCC, the counties, and various stakeholders. So for the 23-24 hearing costs, that is prorated to cohort 1, and so that is a cost for 3,500 petitions, 2,300 cases. The other point, I think, just to acknowledge everyone involved in the CARE Act that I have heard on many, many meetings has agreed that the state or the courts or the counties won't really know how accurate all these estimates are until courts have been hearing cases for a few months. And that starts in October 2023. So the estimates are, those numbers are what we have to work with and what the budget is based on. The allocation methodology proposal for all of these different options is based on what we presented to the committee for allocating the 22-23 planning funding. We broke it out for you in the tables. What would it be by population? What would it be by total filings? What would it be by the workload formula? And then finally by the workload formula with a base for small courts. Cohort one has two smaller courts. They are Tuolumne and Glenn. So this report also presents that you have before you also presents those options. As I said, we did not incorporate additional funding or allocations for Los Angeles that hasn't been released. What the governor might want to propose has not been released in the May revision, so we didn't address that here. So I do think if the models we propose, we can then run when we know what is, if Los Angeles is in and in how much additional funding were allocated. So then I'll go to the first piece, the simplest piece, which is table one. This is allocating the hearing costs for the cohort one courts. We used the workload formula, as I'm just going to focus on the option that the committee chose last time, which is workload formula plus base, but happy to run or produce any other numbers this subcommittee wants. So in this case, we needed to set a base for the small courts, and we chose just as a starting point the cost through the model used in the BCP for hearing 50 cases, 50 care court cases. And that is, as you'll see in column M of table one or column K, that is $93,000, allocating that base and then allocating the additional funding is a proposal for allocating the $8.7 million. I think it's worth at this point, and then maybe then I'll just be quiet for a minute. The thinking of the base we allocate for the small courts, I think it's helpful also to think what kind of reallocation model that we'll use. We've just put in the recommendation for a reallocation model, a kind of plain vanilla. We will look at the Judicial Council will collect spending and potentially case counts at mid-year, work with all the cohort one courts and see if there are any courts who are not anticipating spending all their funding and other courts who anticipate needing more. For small courts, it would also be possible, I think, to consider building in a reserve. I really don't think we have a great sense of what a base of cases for the small courts will be until they until we're up and running. Some of you know in the Dependency Council funding methodology, that was addressed by holding back $100,000 from the total allocation and then having that available for small courts to draw on if they had, because I mean a small number of cases in a small court can be proportionally a very big number. So that is our table one, allocating the hearing costs. And before we talk about allocating the operations costs, I'll just stop and see if anyone has any questions or comments.
Thanks, Don. Any questions for Don?
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. I just have one question, and if it's in the materials, my apologies. The question relates to carryover funds. Can they be encumbered? Can they be carried over from year to year, or do they have to? How's that going to be handled?
I might ask Zlatko or Fran to address that. In 2223, as you know, we're currently requesting that those funds can be whatever the word is, recategorized so they can be carried over. I don't know what the status of the 2324 funds would be.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. There's nothing in the budget that allows carryover. Your normal encumbrance rules apply per the FID manual in terms of contractual obligations, but nothing for staffing. But I mean, as Don said, for the money that was in the current year budget, there has been a request to include some language to allow that startup money to carry over because it came so late in the fiscal year. But I think we'd have to explain how ongoing money needs to be carried over year to year versus it being reverted. So I think that we'd have to make our case as to why that would be the case. Normal encumbrance rules are allowed for any of those contractual obligations.
Yeah, and and you just pointed out one aspect of it. The money was received kind of late. Mm-hmm. And in order to secure agreements, you have to have the money.
Right.
And so here we are in April. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So anyway, having some knowledge about its status would certainly be helpful. But thank you very much, the information.
Yeah, but I mean,
and thanks for the effort.
Yeah, and I mean, and on that point, I mean, it's as the budget is providing new individual pots of money for different things, we've reminded the Department of Finance, we probably need to put that on any topic list. How does it impact the 3%? All of that. It's, you know, this has been a more recent phenomenon, firearms funding, CARE Act funding, you know, any of those types of things. What happens to those funds? What's the expectation at the end of the fiscal year? Because we have, Congress have limited fiscal flexibility, as everybody else does in terms of encumbrance. We at the council say can't carry over funds for personal services, only those that have contractual obligations. So we're trying to introduce that into the discussion on any of these kinds of individual programmatic funding funds with the Department of Finance.
Yeah, and I appreciate the efforts that you're taking to try to extend that opportunity for a carryover component. And I know that as we start looking a little further into fund balances, being able to draw the distinction between this very specific program, the monies that cannot be spent on any other purpose, along with the recognition that we have to be careful with fund balance approaches, I think this is very helpful information. So thank you.
Of course.
Any other questions for Don on table one? So Don, when you talk about the potential of a reserve, that'd be above the base for all the courts, and then there'd be a small reserve for just the two smallest courts to draw from?
That is how it works in the dependency.
Okay.
Council. I think probably it, but I don't think that, I don't think the committee's limited how they think about a reserve. I mean, it could be just part of the allocation, who approves it, the use of it, how it's used, all those things we would need to specify.
Sure. Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Go ahead then. Nothing on table one. Go ahead, Don.
Okay. So moving on to table two, A little more complicated. The funding for FY23-24 for the non-hearing costs, so to speak, for court operations was arrived at by estimating the cost of 58 FTEs at the court at $195,000 per FTE. That does not in any way restrict the use of this money to personnel. That's just how the estimation was done. So this funding can be used for a range of operational costs, and the intent of having the 58 FTEs in the courts rather than the number of FTEs that, say, just the Cohort 1 courts could use for 23-24 was to provide, again, startup and planning costs to the Cohort 2 courts. So this, and this funding in the BCP rises to $17 million in 24-25 and to $20 million in the final year of the budget when all courts are up and running. So I say all that to say that staff didn't think it made sense to just allocate that money across the 58 courts because the Cohort 1 courts are up and running. So what would make more sense would be to do that exercise to see what all the courts would get next year when they're all running, and then give the Cohort 1 courts that amount in what would be, so to speak, their ongoing amount in 24-25. So it didn't change between 23-24 and 24-25, and so they had whatever, the full amount that whatever the committee thought the the allocation would be when everyone's up and running. Forgive me for repeating myself. So we ran table two, which shows you what it looks like if we allocate the $17 million in 24-25, and then we highlighted the Cohort 1 courts in there, and then we dropped those into table 3A. So you have $3.6 million allocated to the Cohort 1 courts, and then took the remainder of the funding of the $11 million and allocated that to Cohort 2. I think that's the clearest path through to giving the Cohort 1 courts what they need to run, but not an amount that would say go down when the rest of the courts come online. So again, we have a question of a base. Well, again, I apologize. We have a question of a typo. This project seems cursed for me because last time I had a typo in the header. So on table two and on table three, if you look once again at the far right, the workload formula plus base allocation, it says allocate the base is 50 cases. But in this case, for this tranche of money, the base we are assuming is again what the committee recommended for the planning funding, which is 98,000. That is an equivalent of roughly half a court FTE. So sorry about the typo, we'll fix it. But this, we have a $98,000 base, and then we're allocating the remainder of the funds as I described. And I have one more piece, but I will pause here and see if there's any, if there are any questions about that allocation or that logic.
Any questions for Don on that? All right, Don.
Okay, so the final piece is just some information for you. It's not part of the report on how are other folks doing this. The Department of Finance is doing its CARE Act budgeting purely on population. We contacted the Department of Healthcare Services how they were distributing their planning funds to the counties, and I have not confirmed it's how they're distributing their implementation funds to the counties in 23-24, but I assume that is, I assume this is how they are doing it. DHCS had $31 million in planning funds to allocate to their counties. They used a metric that weighted by half total population and half homeless population. They also did a base. Their base was to ensure that every county received roughly 1% of the allocation, 0.8% or 250,000. So by comparison, our base of 98,000 would be half a percent of the ultimate 20 million for court operations. Their base is 0.8%. The homelessness data they are using to do half of their metric is derived from a point in time survey that's conducted by organizations in counties or consortia of counties and using a method supplied by Housing and Urban Development and sort of presided over it by HUD. It's a one day, I believe January 1st, but I'm not sure. So it's a one team's do a one-day census, but this is not the homelessness census done by the Census Bureau. So from the court standpoint, from this allocation standpoint, using this model would not impact the smaller courts. Both DHCS and the Judicial Council, the Judicial Branch, has a large number of smaller courts who would get some kind of base. Using it to allocate to the larger courts would have, I would say, a fair amount of variance from our workload formula. Some courts go up, largely based on how this homelessness census works out, but also because it's just using a fair number of different metrics. So the courts in cohort one would change from one would go 10% down, the largest drop, and one would go 45% up, the largest jump. So it's quite different from our model. I think if we were to look into this model further, we would want to know more about the survey because I don't see really many assessments of the accuracy, but we wanted to let you know what we knew about what our partners are using for allocation. And Judge, that concludes all my, what I thought might be helpful as background for this sort of complicated report. And I'm happy to do more questions or not.
Well, Don, that's appreciated. You're always so effective in taking some of these very complicated discussions and trying to help us understand them. And with that opening comment, any questions for Don about the recommendations are set forth in your materials? There's four in all. Questions? Thoughts?
Judge Conklin, I have a question.
Go ahead, Krista.
So, Don, maybe I missed it in the materials, but how is the small court defined? Where they qualify for the base versus it's based on their workload. What I didn't catch where that determination is made.
So I define them as, that's a good point. I don't have, working with cohort one, I believe Glenn and Tuolumne are both in cluster one. Working with the courts across the board, I defined it as if we set a base of 98,000, if the workload formula gave you less than 98,000, then you're bumped up to 98,000. So it has, I think, considerably, probably most of the cluster one and cluster two courts in.
So no court's going to get less than 98,000 regardless.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Don, if I might just add something we had talked about yesterday was, these are your and the collective state's best estimates of any of this, right? Be it the population, the number of hearings, the process, all of the budget estimates are based on, you know, again, the best estimates of information that folks have. And while this is what is, and there's an expectation of a lot of data gathering, I can let Don talk to that if you'd like, but as we were saying, just to think the mindset, this is not a set in stone, forever in perpetuity approach. This is whatever, you know, the experts at Don and his team are in terms of bringing this to you. It will be evaluated. We've already raised concerns to the Department of Finance about insufficient funds. Say we're overwhelmed by a larger number. How do we get resources? So there's so many unknowns. This is not, again, they're doing their best. And I think that the reason I'm speaking up is because I want folks to understand that this is not, unless it's by some stroke of genius and luck that we get it right now, this time next year we'll be talking about what has actually been happening in October, November, December to inform us and bring data. So not that that's to just sway you to say, well, then fine, move on. But again, context as to, the challenge of this. And these are again, their best estimates. We were in a meeting with the counties and the amount in the budget versus what the amount that the counties had. They were off by a factor of 3.5 from what was in the budget. So there's a lot of discussion still on what are the budget values. We feel like we're a little bit more concrete in what we're doing. But again, it just shows that there's a lot of work. And come the fall, if things are not there, we're going to be raising our hands to the Department of Finance to really say we need a different set of resources than what is in the budget. So again, that's the sort of backdrop of, you know, we are doing our best. We want to hear your input and what your concerns are, but know that this will be changed without doubt as we get actual experience, and we'll need to be nimble and able to adjust as quickly as possible.
Thanks, Lako. Well said. So it's kind of hard to know exactly what we need until we get there. So, or how it's going to be allocated until we know how the work goes. So,
Judge Conklin?
Go ahead, David.
I have a couple of questions. One's for Don and one's for you, Judge Conklin. I'll go with the one for Don. So, Don, you mentioned that there was some consideration as it relates to holding somebody back in reserves for, I don't know, unexpected expenses if we got it wrong, let's say for the smaller course. Is that consideration included in any of the recommendations?
No, it's not. I wanted to bring it out as we actually were just discussing it. So I wanted to mention it, but no, I think it would be, if the committee wants to go that way, it would be helpful to give us some language on there is a reallocation recommendation, but it just reads, direct us to survey the cohort one courts by February 2024 and bring a reallocation proposal to the committee for March 2024 Judicial Council action.
Okay. So I do think that having somebody held back, and I don't know what that magic number would be, because as we've just talked about, it's a estimate of what we're talking right now. And I would certainly hate to see those courts fall short, especially if it's going to be a struggle to deliver what the intent of the program happens to be. So I am supportive of that. And whatever that number is, I'm not exactly sure how to come up with it, but something very modest, but helpful. The other question that I have for you, Judge Conklin, is for the cohort one courts, Orange happens to be one of those courts that is participating or falls under the cohort one. Would it be appropriate for me to vote on that item, or would it be better for me to abstain?
I don't think you need to abstain. This is I think a somewhat of a policy discussion to start off with. So I appreciate your concern about that, but you know, we all have our courts involved in these at numerous times. We appreciate your court being one of the cohort one courts. I don't think that prevents you from voting on it.
Okay.
Unless anybody else has a concern about that. So, Judge Kelly, or Judge Getty, I'm sorry. I thought, oh, Judge Getty,
That's
go
all
ahead.
right. I would love to be called, referred or confused by my superior colleague, Judge Kelly, who does fantastic work. You know, I know that I'm more recent, so some of this allocation decision making happened before I joined this esteemed committee. And I wanted to share just a perspective on how the use of the numbers of the homelessness population and the potential general population, and sitting and thinking about the real life context. Most of you have received the memo from the Department of State Hospitals about our limit, our cap on our IST numbers. You've seen those numbers. And of course, that's an arbitrary number pulled out of thin air because we had another 50 to 100 people beyond that number that were waiting placement. And we have different measurements that are out there that we could pull from GPSIS, like how many LPS conservatorships are there? How many Laura's Law petitions were there ever made? How many ISTs you have? How many misdemeanor ISTs you have? And there are all sorts of measures, but I genuinely think that using the allocation methodology that we're using that relies with the base funding and ties to our filings is probably still better. As I sat here and thought about it, and I just wanted to sort of affirm the way that we are going, because you may have a public guardian's office that is more active in filing for conservatorships, or you might be in a county like ours where they can't find the staff to staff it and therefore are not pursuing the petitions that maybe they would had they been able to staff it. You may also be in a county that has snow on the ground for 9 months of the season, so the homeless don't actually stay in your county when you're trying to get them to be counted, and they've moved to a warmer climate, more they want to be in Orange County where it's much nicer over there.
Or Fresno
or San Francisco. And so, I mean, I think that I do think there is no perfect way of allocating this money. And I think we're headed on the right track, but we're not going to know. And even when you're looking at actual numbers, they're still trying to rebuild the infrastructure everywhere. So I'm not sure that we are going to be in a position of changing it based on actual numbers until you have had actual numbers for more than one season. So that's just my two cents. I really appreciate the hard work and the on crunching the numbers and thinking it through.
That's a valid two cents. So I tend to agree that you know, the workload formula is a formula that has been tried and true to a degree. Nothing's perfect. And I think as Lotko has expressed, David's expressed, and others, and Don as well, it's so hard as we start down this process to know the best allocation methodology when we don't know the work ahead of us. So I tend to agree that the known is better than the unknown, and the workload is known. Any other thoughts, concerns? We have the four recommendations to set forth. You all have them before you. Approve the courts for implementing the CARE Act, calculated at $98,325 with a base for the 25 CARE Act courts, and then an allocation methodology that employs the workload formula with a base of 98, prorated at the amount of funding cohort one courts. Again, I can just read these off to you, but sorry about that. But you have them before you. So let's open up that discussion as far as those recommendations go. Anybody?
Judge Konka, do you want to take them in order? One at a time,
rather? Sure. That's fine.
Okay. So if I may, I would be happy to make a motion to approve recommendation one as contained in the materials starting on page number 7.
All right. Is there a second to that?
This is Judge Kelly. I would second.
Great. Moved and seconded that the first recommendation one, be approved. It's been moved and seconded, open for discussion. Any further discussion? All right, open to the vote. Any opposition to the approval of recommendation one as we start? Hearing none, moved and seconded. I find that as the chair, committee's unanimously approved the first recommendation. Moving to the second recommendation. Any motions?
So can I ask one question? So
sure.
Judge Colquitt, so what I want us, what I would like us to do is consider setting aside a modest amount in reserves. I was thinking 1% or 0.5%. So maybe we can start at 0.5% of the total amount allocated for the purpose of providing additional funds to courts in the whatever designated category we might determine. And I don't know if that needs to be folded into the second recommendation or one of the remaining two. I'm not exactly sure where it would be best placed, if in fact this is something that folks support.
Don, what do you think? Or Zlatko, as far as if we do have a holdback, the best place to put it?
I think it would fit in four, and maybe revise four to say we need a reallocation proposal. And I guess a question that would come up is if we got, let's say, by the end of quarter one or so, it was before the reallocation, which wouldn't happen until February or March, someone needs money to draw on that funding. It could be something we could take to pick back a circulating order. It could be something that your request gets delegated to tick back. In order to do it quickly enough that it doesn't get caught in the long grind of committee proposals. But I think Zlatko or Fran may want to weigh in.
I defer that. I think you've provided a reasonable explanation here.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so considering that, then we would simply kick it back to, we keep it sort of, I guess we're used to referring to as parking lot items. I don't think it'd be as much of a parking lot, but Judicial Council staff would, as part of the reallocation proposal, consider the holdback. That makes sense, Don?
Yeah, and then Mr. Yamasaki, did you mean, so 0.5% of the full $20 million is $100,000, or were you thinking of just the $11 million tranche of funding?
I was thinking of the 20.
Mm-hmm.
That was my idea. But again, this is up to discussion. If that's an appropriate amount of money. I mean, it's very modest, quite honestly, and could be meaningful for a court that may be coming up short. So anyway, it's ballpark at this point. It's Padres funny. Ballpark, not Dodgers ballpark.
Understood. Okay.
Maybe so ultimately, I think we're going to have a problem spending the money in the time frame that there's going to be money to be reallocated. I think we all are anticipating that. And it would be nice if we could get contracts and programs and all that stuff in place and actually spend the allocation in the time frames contemplated. But I think that there are systemic challenges that will prevent us. So there will be money there in the end to potentially put aside or reality.
Yeah, I think you're right. David, did you have another comment?
Well, I think part of it may be based on if we can carry over money. That may be something that will address the whether we can spend it all. But I guess what I'm hoping that we can do is just set aside a certain very reasonable amount of money to help courts in the event that we run short. $100,000, if that's 0.5% of 20, it seems like it's a doable Just a thought, but we can save that for item number four, because I do think that it would probably be best suited for recommendation four.
Okay.
So if you want, if you're accepting, I would be happy to make a motion to approve recommendation number two.
I do. So okay. Thank you. Is there a second on that?
Yeah, I'll second that, Judge. This is Chad.
Thanks. Moved and seconded. Now the second recommendation also be approved. And I know these read very similar, but this is a down employs a workload formula with a base of the $98,000. So above we address the base of the 25 CARE Act cases, and now we're addressing the funding of 98 million prorated to the amount of the funding cohort one courts that are estimated to receive in 2024-25. Any further discussion on recommendation number two? And with that, any opposition to approving recommendation number two as well? Any abstention? Okay, recommendation number two also is approved. Now recommendation number three, addressing the cohort two courts and allocation methodology that employs, again, the workload formula to the base of 98,000, same language, prorated to the amount that remains after the allocation distributed in recommendation number two. Discussion, concerns, motion?
To me, this is where Mr. Yamasaki's issue comes up, not in number four, because if we're already deciding the methodology and redistribution, this is where the consideration of, you know, a retention amount, I think, would come in.
That makes some sense to me. Don, what do you think of that?
I think that's right. We could add, after the allocation described and reserving X amount of dollars for C recommendation for that purpose.
Do you think adding just one caveat as well, or clarification that if no court requests additional funding, that it's be distributed to all courts using the formula?
Yeah, it would have to go somewhere. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it could go out in the reallocation. So
right.
as we do that, yes.
So do we need to add that language, or is that standard practice?
It never hurts to add it.
Great. So David, again, for so whoever's keeping track of this, Rose or Brandy, so we have it clearly. In recommendation number three.
Add a caveat that, unspent funding would be added into the reallocation process.
But I think this also addressed the $100,000 holdback. So unspent funding.
No, I think it's all, quite honestly.
Okay, all right. Because that would go without saying. If it's a holdback, it's unspent. So if we just say unspent funding, it would cover it all. Okay. Do you have that, Brandy?
I do. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Was there a motion on this one in a second? I don't remember.
There wasn't one, but I would be happy to make the motion to approve this with additional language that holds back half of 1%. I think it's $100,000, because I don't know what the precise allocation amount or appropriation amount is. Hold back to provide additional funding to cluster one courts, requiring additional funding to support the program. Any unspent balance would then be, I don't know, reverted to the whatever the language that you want to use. Reallocated.
Yeah, redistributed, right.
Redistributed, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I'm sorry, ask for clarification before anyone seconds? Are you adding cluster one courts or cohort one courts?
My intent was cluster one courts.
So just the smallest?
Yeah. For the holdback purpose. Because otherwise, it's going to go to everybody. But again, I'm very open to further discussion.
I didn't appreciate that we were defining cluster one in a holdback. I thought we were just looking in general if there was a specific need for courts and you couldn't make your need. I mean, 100,000 isn't going to go very far anyway, so let's be candid. But let's say it did make the difference and at least we planned ahead for it. And if they made a request by May 1, it could be distributed. Otherwise, it'll be distributed to the rest of, you know.
Yeah, I don't have, personally, I don't have a strong feeling to limit it to the cluster one courts or for everybody. But I do think
Jeff Getty's point, cluster one courts may be the ones that aren't able to spend it all. I mean, so I think if we just said cohort one courts, we give ourselves some flexibility.
For example, if you look at the IST report, Alpine County had zero.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to have a $98,000 base, and they're not going to be able to spend that money.
Right.
With Judge Getty's persuasive nature, I'm happy to include her suggested change.
Of cohort one versus cluster one.
Yes.
All right. And then does that mean Judge Kelly or Judge Getty, did you want to second that?
I don't think
this is Judge Kelly.
I didn't think we were limiting it to cohort one either, but I guess at that point, cohort two is just starting up, so that makes sense that only cohort one would be in the need for money, right?
That's how I understood it to be.
Yeah.
And with that understanding and with Judge Getty's comments, I'm happy to second David's motion as to number three.
Okay, number three as amended, moved and seconded. Any further discussion? And any opposition as amended? Hearing none, recommendation three is approved unanimously. And now finally, recommendation four, directing council staff to survey the cohort one courts and bring a reallocation proposal back to TICBAC for March 24 council action. Any discussion? It makes a lot of sense to me. I think it's necessary. Any discussion?
Only that I object to my making the final motion.
I'll bail David out. I'll make that motion.
And I'll second.
All right. So Chad, Mr. Finke makes the motion, Judge Getty seconds, moved and seconded to approve recommendation number four, open for discussion. Any further discussion? And any opposition? All right. So one, two, three, and four, with three being amended, have all been unanimously approved. Don, as always, you're a master at this. We thank you so much. This is intricate stuff, and you helped us a lot, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, and so now we do have a discussion item, and Rose is going to present on this, and this is our work plan. And I think we do need to just take some time to work through this. It's the work plan started off as a workload formula parking lot item to consider revisit down the road. Many items we've addressed, Rose is going to address that, and I think we need to also have a discussion about looking at some of these items, whether or not even the ones that haven't been completed are continue to be something that we want to spend resources addressing. With that said, Rose.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, my name is Rose Lane. I am a senior analyst with Budget Services. So this report is to consider updates to the annual FMS work plan for fiscal year 23-24 and beyond. So on an annual basis, the FMS reevaluates the work plan in efforts to develop and refine the workload formula, as well as other methodologies. This includes self-help and interpreter funding and methodologies for new funding that go for approval to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. The current work plan is provided as Attachment 2A on page 16 of your materials. So it's recommended that the FMS review each of the items on the current work plan to determine what action the subcommittee will take. The recommendations for consideration begin on page 13 of your materials, and I'm going to pass it over to Judge Conklin to open up discussion and evaluation of each item.
Okay, so let's go there. Again, I'm just going to pull it up on my screen. So I have the right page number. So
we move. Page 16 is the current approved work plan. And
okay, there we go.
The recommendations do start on 13. But if we want to focus on the work plan list, we're
help me understand that
those recommendations.
Help me understand what you're saying, Brandy.
Yep. So We included the current approved work plan that we are operating with until July of this year. For each one, there are recommendations included, but we don't necessarily want to just have y'all take the recommendation and go. We're hoping for a discussion on each to confirm that everyone is good with the recommendations or have alternatives. So, for example, number one is identify and evaluate the impact of council-provided services versus those that are funded by local trial court operations funds, including judicial council staff, internal research on what services are used by which trial courts. Our recommendation says, hey, we'd like to move this into the next 2023-24 fiscal year to provide time to do that work. But to your point, Judge, is this an item that the subcommittee is still interested in before we proceed?
Right. So that's a good example, starting off with item one. This has been a discussion that we've had in years past. And candidly, I don't know how else to phrase this. It seems a little stale to me. I'm not sure what this really accomplishes as far as asking staff to once again evaluate the impact of the services they provide. Different courts they have their own, I'll use Orange County as an example, and their IT department and how extensive that is, or LA and what they have versus very small courts. Where do we draw the line here? Where do we talk about courts utilizing services provided by council staff versus their own? And I'm not sure we have in the past actually drilled down on this if we need to. David, you look like you have some thoughts.
A couple of thoughts. One is there are many services that trial courts rely on the judicial council to assist them with. And some of those items are already reimbursements that courts provide. Payroll system is an example with respect to SAP. I think going back, if I could remember correctly, items such as negotiations. Some courts rely on the JCC's HR team to help them during the negotiations. And of course, like Orange, we contract that service out. And I think that when it was first raised, we were really struggling to make ends meet with the demands that we have locally, as well as the fund condition. And I would agree with you. That said, I agree with what you just said about the currency of some of the items that we have. And I'm not of the same mindset in light of where we are right now and the fiscal impact that perhaps we need to go back and start billing for certain things that, I don't know, it's not necessarily going to net us anything of significance. We also have, I think all courts use the services of legal services at the judicial council. That's not an item that any of us sees a bill for either. So I think there's some bigger fish to fry, quite honestly, and I would support your position that maybe it's not something that is front and center, a top priority.
Chad,
if any priority at all.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, thanks, Judge. I agree with you and David. You know, if you think about, to David's point, when this first was added, I think if you think about the those heat maps that we've all seen John Wordlaw use, right? When this was introduced, you had some of the counties were green and some were red and some were shades of orange and yellow. And, you know, now that we're all at the level of funding where we are, recognizing that there are still people, you know, over 100 and still people in the low 90s, but we're all kind of in that green band. And it seems like we're sort of evolving our funding, to a place where, you know, perhaps we're looking at index funding every year. So I agree that it strikes me that it would be a tremendous amount of work for JCC staff to try to do this, and I'm not sure that the end result would justify the effort it would take to do this work at this point.
Any other thoughts? So I guess to make sure we're all clear, the thought would be then to remove this from the work plan. Brandy, is that the right way to phrase it?
Yes, that would work.
Okay. All right. So where, again, I'm just trying to work through the document. So it's on page 13. And then as we scroll down, is the final work plan to be approved, the one starting, is that attachment 2B?
No, we don't have a final outcome yet, or we didn't put together what it would look
and
like.
And we won't until after this meeting.
Exactly.
Okay, so I don't know if we want to take these one by one. Is that necessary, Brandy, so we vote on that right now?
Up to you. We can keep going and take notes and do it all in one package, if that's easier.
Okay, so our first note is we're going to eliminate the item one.
Yes.
So moving to item two, develop an ongoing workload-based methodology for allocation of court interpreter funding. The thought is, again, to remove this, to move it with an effective date of 24/25 to allow the ad hoc interpreter subcommittee to collaborate with CFCC and others. Thoughts?
I think this is a very important item, and agree that it should not be stricken, but rather if time is needed, that it be moved over to the subsequent fiscal year.
Any disagreement with that? Okay. The item three is a discussion that we've had in years past about taking some time and at least getting an ad hoc subcommittee set up to reevaluate the cluster system and what the clusters really bring to us. So this is to consider moving item three to 23/24 to be addressed by the Data Analytics Advisory Committee.
I have some thoughts on that.
Okay.
And it kind of ties into Chad's comments about, you know, the heat map and how we're all allegedly funded in this. And David, don't laugh. I know. You know what's coming?
I was thinking something funny.
Rolls Royce and Pinto, because even though we might be funded at the same level or 10% area of difference, when you have, Alpine is going to be different than Orange County. And I don't know if you guys have noticed in the recent court news, I've seen a number of folks that were at the start of this movement have passed away. And I'm very much reminded of the work that we did, 15, 20 years ago about access to justice. And the whole theme about your experience when you walk in to a courtroom in Butte County should be similar to when you walk into a courthouse in Orange County. And the clusters are there to recognize that there are still these chronic differences between us. And I would like to see us adopt some type of analysis, whether it's this cluster system. I feel that going to data analytics would not be an appropriate move to really assess what are the current differences because of the chronic difference in our funding. I'm hopeful for the future, but I am recognizing the current status. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, and just to add some information, Judge Getty, our Judicial Counsel Office of Court Research, Leah Rose Goodwin's group, are the ones that help identify the clusters and apply kind of various adjustments to the workload formula model in response to those different clusters. So originally this would have gone to WAC, the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee, but since they've since sunsetted and DAC, the Data Analytics Advisory Committee, took their place, that was kind of the path we were going. So it would end up still with OCR to help with that evaluation of the clusters.
So is it your thought, Judge Getty, that we continue as recommended, that we just move this we continue working on a move to the 23-24 to be addressed by DAC?
I will profess my ignorance, and I appreciate, Brandy, absolutely the assist. I guess I'm not sure where it fits in the numerous recommendations, but I just want to flag, especially as it looks like we might be heading to more of an indexed basis, more of a across-the-board formula, and maybe moving away from a workload formula in that regard. I mean, I think we all see that there's a change, a little bit of a change. When we've achieved equity, then are we going to still use the same methodology? But we haven't yet achieved equity. So where do we capture some of this historic chronic differences that continue to exist if we are moving in a different trend? And I apologize, but maybe it fits on a different topic matter. I want to reinforce that that still exists, and we need to capture that somewhere. How? I don't know.
Or who?
Yeah. What if we did some sort of hybrid to number three, reevaluate the cluster system and equity we can add? And Zlatko's just jumped on. What are your thoughts?
Randy, I think I'd hesitate to want to fold what Judge Getty brought in, because I think you're right, Judge Getty, in this respect. This is a budget committee and a funding methodology committee. And our purview often, you know, budget pays for things, and therefore we might see that, oh, well, we just need to do it in budget. But I would suggest that somehow it's an operational analysis that isn't within, in my view, and obviously, you know, the committee chairs can, you know, take issue with this, but it's to determine, you know, the equity of operations, again, is, I think, beyond the scope of a budget funding subcommittee. Where it might go might be a worthy of discussion at a PJ meeting or a CEAC meeting, but coming from that might be something as it relates to funding, but I don't know how funding has it, that comes later in terms of any identification. And
what committee do we see that fitting in?
Well, let me offer this, Judge Getty. So the cluster designation, most notably as it relates to funding, belongs here, because there was a policy decision that was made, recommended by the TCBAC and then approved by the Judicial Council, that those courts that fell into cluster one would have a base level of funding. So that in itself was really the most notable distinction that the cluster system provided some additional funding to courts, not for cluster four, not for cluster, but cluster one. There actually was a monetary highlight to recognize a base level of services/funding that courts that were in that category needed to have. What may be of interest is an expansion. Consider on a criteria for expanding courts that have been included in various clusters, because cluster one courts, I think it's like two judge courts, and then there are some courts that are between two and five, something around there, that may also be find themselves in a similar predicament where there's just not enough. There's just not enough base funding that they're receiving as a result of the funding methodology that might suggest that they should be included in the in cluster one. So, but that's TCBAC that basically would have that responsibility. And that's where it was basically established, quite honestly, out of this body. So maybe it is best suited to be here. And I know the Data Analytics Advisory Committee, with the added responsibility of the workload allocation advisory committee, I can't even remember the previous acronym or name, they're looking at much broader things, quite honestly. So if this is something that if you're expressing interest that it needs to be remain on our action item list, I understand it. I think this is probably the place for it to be.
Yeah, so, I would consider, I don't think this, right, I think this is something we need to continue to address and discuss. Yeah. So
if I can clarify, cluster analysis, because there are allocation adjustments that are made based on clusters, understood, because that's within the scope of the funding allocation methodology. But I think what Judge Getty's bringing up, in my opinion, is a different analysis than just looking at clusters and how the breakpoints relate to funding adjustments, because we give different factors for cluster one versus other clusters that give them a little bit more funding, setting aside the fact that we have cluster one courts getting 100% of their need. So, but I do want to distinguish what I heard in terms of comparing like funded from a percentage basis courts, and what does that mean operationally? In my capacity, I just think that that goes beyond the scope of a budget. My staff don't have the knowledge to make an assessment of the differing walking in feels of one court versus another and how that can be translated into a funding methodology change. You know, we're here to do the work, but we don't have that capacity.
But this is just a subcommittee of a greater committee, right?
Yes.
And if this is not a budget-based decision, I don't know where it does fit then, because there is a budget base. And Judge Conklin, you know, we have talked, and I emailed you about, you know, we're all looking at what will be our methodology prospectively once we get this index. What will be our new measures? And I suggested things like building permits and school enrollment, and you know, because you know, we are population-driven. That is a big piece, but building permits are important because in San Francisco, they're not building any new buildings. And we have a whole subset of construction defect that they don't have, you know, so there are different measures as we move forward. I'm not trying to confuse and conflate, but this unfortunately will be a constant message. I just want to make sure I'm messaging the right entity. And if you don't think that it belongs here, then tell me where I should be messaging, because I'm not totally sure we're there yet. On addressing this issue.
I think being a member of the Data Analytics Advisory Committee, and we're one of the activities that we're going to be undertaking, Judge Getty, is evaluating the basis for determining workload and our pursuit of additional funding. So what you just said, I think, is best suited for that body, which is including precisely what you just mentioned as part of its annual plan.
So what does that mean for this item?
Well, I think it should, personally, I mean, based on what we've talked about, I support Judge Getty's position that this is something that we should take a look at and maybe should be part of this body, but for different reasons, right? Because of the funding. You look perplexed, Judge Conklin.
I do. I'm just not sure this is something that Zlatko's team addresses, and that's what I'm just trying to. I'm just
okay.
That's what I'm trying to figure out in my mind. I'm a little thick. Zlatko.
Yeah, I've said it.
We're
budget folks. The question that I hear Judge Getty is asking is, we're funded the same, but we're not the same. And we look at the numbers and we say, you're the same. You're within the band. You know, we're all 90, 92 plus. And there, from that definition, that numerically works. But what Judge Getty's getting at is not something that me, my staff, we have the expertise. I mean, you CEOs can walk into a court and be able to ascertain the differences, how, again, that translates ultimately then to a standard from which then funding can be figured out. We're happy to help on that part, but I think that the initial basis of disparity in service is not a budget analysis. It's an operational analysis. And SEAC talks about operational analyses. The PJs have their opportunities. But I'm just saying it. We can talk about the impact of the financial impacts of the clusters, and whether or not there might be a difference on clusters based on financial basis versus what happened decades ago about, this is where it feels like judges oh, they're cluster one, let's call them cluster one. And oh, there's a group of judges, they're cluster two, and that sort of thing, by which we've all been living by. I just would suggest that.
So operational, can it be as simple as simply as TickBack recommending to SEAC that they address this?
I
agree with Judge Getty. It needs to be addressed. I agree with you that I don't think your staff is the one that addressed this. So do we simply say, turn to SEAC and say, we'd like you to address this issue, the cluster system?
It feels more appropriate to, sorry, if I may, Judge Conklin.
Sure.
It feels appropriate to be in the data analytics committee, sure, to me.
Okay.
I think they need to do their work on all of the stuff that, you know, Judge Getty has talked about and others, the cluster analysis. And then we, from that point, use that data to make funding decisions. That seems to me that's the committee that would address or do the analysis.
So, and ultimately, I hear you, Zlatko, saying operationals. And maybe we don't have a committee that addresses the operational equities between the organizations. For example, I don't have a staff analyst who can, at the drop of a hat, go write a grant application. And David Yamasaki, who is a brilliant CEO, mentioned economies of scale, which does affect Cluster 3. Cluster 3 has, the larger folks have economies of scale. So you can hire a fantastic staff analyst who can do all this work, where I don't have that. So I can go at night and on the weekends and try to write a grant application to do something. And so there are some barriers. And if it's not here in the work, in the methodology, that we should address that, so be it. But we need to address it, because we're moving forward towards this indexed methodology. You can see the writing on the wall, and we're forgetting the Rolls Royce versus Pinto experience. So I don't want to kick a dead horse, but I don't think that this is just a data analytics, because that's counting numbers. That's not having the access and walking through. And if you want to count how many staff analysts do you have, that's a count thing that the data analytics committee could do. But, you know, how are you able, how many Xerox machines do you have? How is it your experience? How many self-help hours? How many open hours can you have at your clerk's office because you have the infrastructure to support it, whereas these folks don't? So I just am making a pitch that, and I'll get off my soapbox, but we can't ignore this as we're moving towards different methodology.
Chad, you have your hand up, and then David.
Well, to the points that Judge Getty just made, I mean, is it possible that some of those additional factors, whether it's photocopiers or what have you, could that sort of be something that DAC would look at in connection with like a RAS 0.2, right? Or RAS 2.0, I mean, you know, like because I mean, if you think about the factors that go into RAS, you know, RAS is resource allocation, right? So, I mean, it seems like maybe what would happen is we would go to DAC and say, don't just update the numbers in RAS, but you may need, new things may need to be added to RAS. But that may be a hook for why it should start with DAC. Just a thought.
David?
Well, yeah, and I do think that DAC is the proper placement, because it's going to take a look at what you just said, Chad. RAS, the resource allocation methodology. Actually, where's the S?
Study.
That is supposed to measure how much time it takes to process cases. What is the recommended number of people that one should have to process the cases? And I think if we're talking about whether that measurement needs to be expanded because it's not broad enough, we need more people, let's say, than what the old RAS model determined what was appropriate, then the factors that you're bringing up, Judge Getty, courts can't do this. We're not considering building permits, things of that sort. And that would presumably translate into a more time that it's taking a court to process cases. DAC is really the appropriate place for that to be. So going back on what I said earlier, cluster is definitely a budget distinction. And I mentioned earlier also that courts have expressed interest in it being included in a cluster one because of some variables that they may have locally. So I do think the word cluster is part of what our work descriptions should consider. But what you're saying, Judge Getty, I do think I agree with what was already been stated, that DAC appears to be the most appropriate place to do that assessment. They get into the weeds of time, they get into the weeds of case processing responsibilities and challenges, precisely some of the things that you were suggesting. So I believe that DAC is the right home.
Okay, so that would leave item three the way it's stated then? Okay. Judge Getty, are you comfortable with that for now?
I'm trusting that my message will be communicated. I'm happy to show up and be in part of the public comment and communicate it, but I don't think, I think you all hear me and what my concern
is. Sure.
And I'm not sure the best way to address that as an advocate for access to justice throughout California. So if you want to amend the motion to say and ask them to consider it, that's fine. If you want, I trust David Yamasaki to send my message when he shows up for the data analytics committee meeting.
Well, let me ask Brandy a question. This work plan recommendation, yes, does go to TICMAC.
Yes.
Right. And it's our work plan. There are members of DAC on TICMAC. Are there any members of DAC here?
David, I think.
David and others. So the benefit, Judge Getty, of TICMAC being as big as it is that we have connections everywhere, IT, facilities, and DAC. And so I think bringing this conversation to the TICMAC meeting when this is brought, then those representatives on DAC, when this is referred to them, can bring the spirit and energy and intent of the discussion to that committee. Just as when we were talking about BCCs and Judge Conklin and Rebecca Fleming were saying, well, we're on the technology committee, we will, have, as members of those committees, have those conversations. So that's how I like the fact that we are big and we have touch points in many places, that I think your message could be, I'm offering that, but I would hope that, maybe Judge Conklin and others would see that there's that benefit. And saw David's hands go up. He can definitely be a voice of TICMAC in you at a DAC discussion about this.
Yeah, and I would add one other thing. I would be happy to have a side conversation with you, Judge Getty, to kind of better understand what it is that you want DAC to cover, as well as providing a little more background on how courts are managed, and some of the considerations that I think are important for discussion as well. So I extend that invitation. If you're willing to take a call, I'm happy to call you too.
Oh, so. I'm always happy to talk to you. I don't think that I think that I understand, because I've been around the block for a while, even though I know I look like I'm really young. I've been around the block for a while, and I was the assistant county administrator who went assistant county counsel who assisted the courts in the whole unification. That's how long I've been around. I know, and the court was my client before they were ever unified. So I've been here from the very beginning, and I definitely agree the economies of scale is a definite factor. And I just want folks to remember what our goals were at the beginning with the access to justice, and justice looks the same in Alpine County, even though maybe a smaller courthouse, as it does in Solano County, in Butte County, and Orange County. Anyway, so I'm okay. I'm comfortable with that going to that committee, and I'm comfortable with providing examples of where I think we are deficient in our equity between our entities. Not all of those I recognize can ever be addressed because we are just different, but I think that we can't lose sight of those as we move towards indexing.
Well said. Okay, so we'll keep it there with what I would describe as trust. That it will be, as David said, this and Zlatko very appropriately said, that's the beauty of TICMAC. We got a lot of tentacles. So Okay.
I didn't use those words, did I, Judge? I hope I didn't use those words.
What, tentacle or crust?
Tentacles.
Both Judge Merrifield and I are in TikTok, so I know she's taking notes. She's always looking for things to talk about over there. And even though she counts down the last days of being on TikTok.
All right. Now, I guess, both items 4 and 5, initiate an ad hoc subcommittee to reevaluate the funding floor, and 5, to evaluate the workload formula adjustment request. The thought is to remove both of these as stated, because the council's approved the ongoing inflationary adjustment for item 4, and item 5 is scheduled for the council consideration at its May meeting. Thoughts on those? Make sense? Okay, Brandy, does that give you what you, or Rose, does that give you what you need on those items?
Yes, noted.
Okay, then where does that put us?
Number 7. Well, 6 and 7, we're just recommending that number 6 stay in place. This is an opportunity for the base funding floor courts to come to us if they have an increased need.
And we've made those adjustments. We typically address those and make those, so I agree. It's,
yep.
We tweak it.
Yes. And then number 7, excuse me, this is something that was an oversight last year when we were putting together the work plan, but we just want to keep on there that workload formula adjustment request submissions go through the funding methodology subcommittee. It's kind of a standing item.
Okay. All right. Anything else we need to address on this item then?
Unless anyone has anything else to add.
Yeah, and Judge Getty, I think to circle back to your discussion, you weren't beating a dead horse at all. I think, you know, we've got some work ahead of us as far as this indexing goes, and TICBAC's really going to, I think, and I'm glad you're all going to be along for the ride. It's this indexing, I think, is soon to be at our doorstep, if not already. Okay. Any other work we need to, and we all do think you look young, Judge Getty, so. Any other work we need to address
today?
The check
today? Is in the mail, Judge Conklin. The check's in the mail.
Well, you brought it up, so, okay. Anything else?
I just want to thank the committee. We really appreciate the conversation. I mean, it is important as we go along that we see things that sometimes just become, you know, moved along. And again, we're here to serve in the capacity, the best capacity we can, and do right by you and help you do the work, the hard work that you do, so that you can just do your day jobs as PJs, judges, CEOs. And so we really appreciate the conversation, and it helps us a lot. So thank you.
Well, you bet. And obviously, and we don't say this enough, we can't do our job without you. So I think your staff and everything that you guys provide to us is more than essential. And we appreciate the work you guys do. So there you go. Okay. Anything else for today? We're a little bit early, but I know we don't
want to. Just a motion and a second on our work plan to go to take back would be great.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Moved and approved that we moved and seconded to approve the work plan. Any opposition? There we go. Okay. Thanks, Brandy, for closing that loop. All right. Great discussion. Thank you all. When's our next? Well, I guess we've got Tick Back tomorrow.
Tick Back tomorrow. Yep. So we'll get to see everyone again. And FMS next, unless there are any surprises in the May revision, our next meeting isn't until October.
Wow. Okay. Great. Good to see everybody. Thank you all.
Likewise.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you forgot, go Dodgers.
Oh, the go Dodgers.
Go Kings.